As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
So I wondered on last week's show whether or not the PSG tie was going to be fun or not, and I decided no matter how it went down that I wouldn't enjoy it. Honestly, I don't know why you lot listen to me sometimes. It might have been right about the first half, but that second half was an absolute hoot. The win at Palace then couldn't have gone much better either, and it put City on the verge of winning the title. I'm David Mooney, I'm joined by Sam Lee. Hi Sam.
Yeah, hello.
All things considered, not a bad week for City, I guess.
yeah, it's been pretty good, and I mean, could be massively top next week, really. Well, this week, by the time people listen to it. Yeah, things are going pretty well at the minute, without wanting to jinx anything.
Indeed. You can subscribe to The Athletic right now for a price of £3.99 a month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price, and you'll get access to great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of our podcasts as well. So go to theathletic.com/ManCityPod to get this special 40% discount. That's theathletic.com/ManCityPod. So let's kick off with the... I know the Crystal Palace game has happened, Sam, but let's be honest, all the talk is about PSG. We were talking on last week's show what a good result would be. I guess you can't really argue with 2-1 away from home, can you?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I said at the time, I think that question was, oh yeah, I presume you mean a good result that's not a win, because a win would be amazing. And that's what they got. I feel a bit bad for the listeners, really, in the sense that we're doing this on Sunday night. You know, we'd hung on to see what was going to happen in the United game, and nothing has happened, obviously. But also, it's so very much Sunday night vibes, but also very much ahead of the second leg vibes, which are very different to immediately after the first leg.
Yeah.
Like, it almost feels like if City had lost 2-1 just in a hypothetical tie, you'd be annoyed on the night and in the days after. But then as the second leg comes around, you're like, actually, away goal, blah, blah, we can do this. But it's always funny, because then when you win 2-1, even though it's away from home, it's always like, oh God, there's this, that, and the other. And the closer you get to the game, the more nervous you get, and the more that, you know, last week it was one foot in the Champions League final, and now it's, oh, I don't know, like, nothing's sure yet. There's still 90 minutes to go. And
well,
yeah, so we've missed out on giving fans that wasn't that great last night, and now it's, oh God, what's going to happen on Tuesday?
Well, I was going to say, like, in terms of tempering it, if City had lost 2-1 last week, I'd probably be feeling more confident than I am at 2-1 up right now. And that makes no sense. It's nonsensical. I know.
Yeah, it's bollocks.
Yeah. The question is, like, the way the game had gone, like, should it have been more? Could they have gone for it a bit more?
Yeah, I think there was probably an opportunity in the last 10 minutes, but I mean, we know this team by now, and I'm not going to talk for 5 minutes to explain it, but, like, you know, do you remember when we talked about the game at Old Trafford, the 0-0, and how he didn't want to push in the last 15 minutes, even though, well, fans, me, you know, everyone felt United were there for the taking, bring on some attacking subs, you know, bring on Foden for a winner. But obviously Guardiola wanted to keep things tight because he was worried that, you know, Rashford and Martial, whoever was on the pitch, would get spaces to counter-attack in and City would lose. And as well as the season has gone since then, because it was basically turned around like the week after, I think there's still the roots of that in the last 10-15 minutes against PSG, and obviously understandably so, because I think they've done so well to keep a lid on Mbappe and Neymar in particular in the second half, I think they were probably thinking, we don't want to let this slip now. And look, if they get to the final over two legs, you can say it's really good game management. But you could probably also argue that a team that was probably a bit more sure of themselves in this competition might have gone for it. But look, this is the stage City are at, you know, second semi-final ever. And this was the first semi-final they've actually had a go in. So I can see why they didn't go for it.
I was going to say, it's a very, very fine balancing act, isn't it? Because we come away from that game with a 2-1 lead and we all go, actually, that's a great result. None of us really expected that sort of result coming out of that first leg. We were talking about whether it was going to be, you know, whether a narrow defeat with an away goal was a good result, whether, you know, if they can get away there with a score draw, they've done very well. And so they're coming away with a 2-1 victory. And okay, they're playing 10 men in the final kind of 10-15 minutes or so, and okay, they dominated that second half to the point where, you know, PSG was so frustrated that it had caused that red card. That red card was born out of pure frustration, wasn't it? And so the fact is, Guardiola's looked at it and gone, yeah, maybe there is another goal in this, but if we concede now, we'll be kicking ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, there's probably a bit of element of being fickle about this, because if they do get through, you can say it is great management of a tie. But I do think it is, because like I said at half time, when City weren't playing well by any means, look, I wasn't bigging up the performance, but I was like, look, it's not terrible. They're still in it. You know, there's still three halves of football to go. There's still three quarters of the tie to go. They're still in it. They've not. And look, that's obviously with the context of City conceding goals in the Champions League and then opening up and conceding more. And they managed that situation very well in both Dortmund games. And obviously they did it again against PSG without being brilliant in the first half. And then, yeah, it did at least give them the platform to turn it around, because they obviously thought, I think it's what Guardiola said, you don't win a two-legged tie in the first leg, but you can lose it. Which again is like, it's ironic, because if you lose it, then the other team's winning it. But yeah. it means you can throw it away. You can't sew it up, but you can throw it away. And I think, yeah, I think we saw that all the way through. But I mean, the thing about the last 10-15 minutes is Rodri, a couple of times running into the box ahead of the ball, and then, which was just like really kind of dangerous, really, because, you know, if they'd turned it over, he'd have been massively out of position. I mean, look, maybe there was good cover there, but I remember thinking, where are you going? And then some passes where he could have just released De Bruyne down the left on the counter-attack. It's mad, like, Rodri seems less sure of himself in Champions League games. But just if you're thinking back to like that one bad pass at the end of the Gladbach first leg, you know, he just gave it to Wolf, was it? And then obviously he did a couple against Dortmund in the first leg and stuff. But I suppose it's to be expected as well, because how old is he? 23, 24?
Yeah,
and, you know,
still
going to feel pressure. It's probably going to be in the biggest game. So I can understand that a bit. But in the last 10-15 minutes, it did seem like he was actually trying to crack on and get something done. I suppose the big regret in terms of the biggest chance was, partly because it would have been 3-1, partly because it might have been the best goal ever, as I talked about last week. But that run where Foden just ran through the middle of everyone. It's like, oh my God. Because it's that thing again, is how has he got this far? Like, how's he beating so many men so quickly? And oh God, look where he is now. Like, once he puts the finish on the end of one of those, it's going to be special.
It's going to be special. I want to touch on the contrast in the halves, Sam, because you've got much more of a tactical than I have about how City are playing. What changed for City in the second half? Because they started the game like playing quite safely, and as much of the ball as they had very little control of the game. And then the second half, they still had control of the ball, but they just didn't let PSG out of their own half. What was different? Because personnel-wise, it was exactly the same.
Yeah, well, one thing I want to mention... Well, two things I want to mention. One is my tactical eye is bloody hell. Like, it's a long way to go.
It's better, definitely better than mine, though. I'm not going
to... Well, like... possibly, yeah. But, I mean, look, I have to... You know, I read a lot of articles about what City did. But another thing, that I just because I've not mentioned it yet, and I wonder if any listeners thought the same, or what have you noticed? But in the first 5 minutes, so like in the first 5 minutes, City had a lot of the ball, but it wasn't like, oh, this is bad, like it was at half time. But I was like, it's weird, because City were passing the ball around a lot, but it was in areas they never normally pass it around. And it was in like body positions, like Walker was kind of getting the ball, but he was kind of more than half turned back towards his own goal. There was none of the usual body positioning, and it was just like they are passing it, but they can't get out of their own half. And it was just really unusual to see something like that. And I suppose that was the problem.
I felt they were under pressure. Like I felt like,
yeah.
like they were almost coping with the pressure. I always used to say, and it's going to be a weird comparison, but bear with me. When Colo Torre used to get on the ball for City, he always passed it, and he always played like he was on the verge of the wheels about to fall off the runaway train. And that's kind of how I felt about City's passing and passing under pressure in the first half against PSG. They were getting it to other blue shirts. Well, it was the away shirt, but they were getting it to their teammates.
Other Paisley shirts.
Yeah, but it was almost like hot potato. I've got it I've only just got it there, and then they've got to control it. And then I've only just made the next pass sort of thing.
And like you talk about, was it like the U shape basically? Around the box, there was nothing going into the box, was there? And it wasn't even anything on the edge of the box. It was just kind of down the wings and in front of the defensive midfielders again, and around to the other side of the pitch. And there was nothing. But to answer the question, what changed, and the kind of things that I noticed, and the kind of things we pieced together. Well, the first thing I noticed, the most obvious thing, was Foden had come inside. But I think that was by virtue of Guardiola sending the fullbacks further forward, because in the first half, they were obviously staying back with a watching brief of, don't leave too much space in behind you, which Cancelo still managed. Like every time they switched, I think part of the issue was City, when they get balls played up through their lines to a forward or a midfielder in front of their defence, they go very narrow. And I think Pochettino probably noticed that from the Dortmund games and kept people wide. So the kind of job was for Cancelo to come inside, but also be inside. And then get back to the left, and he wasn't doing it, and Foden had to track back up a couple of times. But basically the fullbacks weren't contributing too much, so City had fewer bodies forward and they couldn't really create any overloads or superiority or anything like that. So second half they went forward a bit more. Obviously there was a bigger change when Cancelo had gone off, but the change had already kind of happened by then. Just because they were pushed forward a bit more, and then City had more men inside, Foden had gone inside, and that helped them control the game better. They were, you know, I've explained it a lot recently and written about it a lot. Guardiola wants all the players close together, short passes, and they had more of that. He said they were rushing in the first half, which somebody actually said at half time he thought they were rushing, and I didn't think they were. I just thought they were just being slow and didn't really have anywhere to go. But Guardiola said they were rushing the passes, and in the second half they took more time. And then the other thing off the ball is, this is just something I saw from a video. I can't remember if it was. An original video by one of the City accounts, or they just retweeted it, but it was about how they shackled Neymar. And in the first half, they just kind of let him get the ball in front of the defence, and he was running the show, or at least he was strutting around like Neymar can do. But in the second half, they were just straight through the back of him.
Yeah.
The video was really good because it highlighted Guardiola shouting to Ruben Dias, because I think Dias had followed him up the pitch but then had to drop back and he didn't pass him on. And you could hear Guardiola on the sideline saying, signal, because I think he was saying, tell somebody else to pick him up. And it was normally Gundogan. So those are the kind of things they did at half time to control the ball in possession, but also just to stop Neymar getting it. And I bet Neymar genuinely did nothing second half, did he?
Yeah.
And then they struggled to even get it to Mbappe.
Yeah, I thought of you when he made the change, Zinchenko for Cancelo, you know, because when it happened, I was thinking, you know, I think that's a bit harsh because Cancelo's been better in this second half. But there was a moment where, like, he kept getting into the box and he kept getting free on the left-hand side and then kind of cutting it back and, you know, wriggling. And he had to beat his man two or three times to get into a dangerous position. And so I could see the thinking, get Zinchenko on, get a left footer on that side, move Foden a little bit further inside, and then Zinchenko can kind of get round the back a lot quicker. But there was a couple of moments where it broke down ahead of him. And Cancelo kind of half stepped to the ball and then thought, oh shit, no, I can't do that because I'm leaving a lot of space in behind me. And then he was kind of trapped in no man's land. And if they'd been a little bit quicker to play out, there might have been an opportunity there. And it made me think of the times when we talked about that weakness of Cancelo stepping up and like the Manchester Derby goal, effectively. Where he'd stepped up,
and I thought, right back,
and I wondered if that was the contributing factor more than anything else that Guardiola thought Zinchenko needs to come on here.
Oh yeah, that's a good question. That's a good point. Possibly, because like I tweeted it at the time, but like if you're getting taken off after 60 minutes by Pep this season, you've had a shocker.
Yeah,
because he doesn't change it, does he? And like that was the interesting thing about when Jesus came on for Bernardo in the first leg against Dortmund. And he came on after about 58 minutes, but he was on the bench for about 5 minutes. So I was like, wow, he must really not be happy with Bernardo here. So yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was just the overall The positioning, like I say, he was never quite. And when I say he was in the middle, and then they switched the ball to what would have been PSG's right wing, City's left back, and you think, where's the left back? The only time I've ever really thought that in the last few years was the very first game when City played an inverted left back, was Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, you know, the famous De Bruyne goal with the purple burgundy kit. And that was when Dalph did it for the first time. And after about 15 minutes, I was like, hold on, what's going on? There's a massive space. I was like, Dalph, what are you doing? And then obviously, like, after that, he never really put a foot wrong positionally, and all the players have got it. But that's what he reminded me of. But there was also, he was giving the ball away a bit. And I thought you might say as well, when he was giving the ball away, when he went to tackle, he didn't tackle anyway. And it was just like, or he made a foul, and it was just like, oh, that's just so frustrating. Like, mate, what are you doing? And obviously Guardiola just thought, yeah, get him off. And maybe it's the element of, like you say, cutting inside a lot. It's just slow. You need to be quicker. Like, and that's where the element of left foot on the left side works and makes things a bit quicker. And obviously Stones and Diaz, he's found a way that where he's obviously thinking, well, what these guys give me is more important than that slickness, and we can make up for it in other ways. But maybe it's harder then if you haven't got a left-footed left-back to do it. And it's interesting, actually, that Cancelo, having lost his place from the Dortmund first leg, I was convinced it was after the first leg, and the Leeds game simply compounded it. And then obviously got back in by playing really well at Wembley to now get subbed off after an hour. Like, I'd be surprised if he starts again, especially because he started at Palace. So,
well, I was going to say,
interesting little one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Let's look at that second leg, because I'm wondering if the only change to that starting lineup is that Zinchenko comes in for Cancelo. Would that make sense?
I think so, yeah, for sure. You know, there's been a few comments on the Q&A and on my article about Aguero, which was up on Sunday, about people, the possibility of Aguero playing. Is that now? Come on, like, we know Guardiola by now, and particularly this season. And look, I'm opening myself up to looking stupid here, but I'd be amazed if Aguero starts. Like, it's the false nine. It's all the midfielders in the world. Keep the ball, play it safe, keep it tight. Try and force a chance if there's one there, but don't really try and force it if it's not. That's how it's going to be. The fact that Fernandinho came off as well, people are thinking, kind of understandably, oh, maybe Fernandinho will play, but again, I'll be really surprised. Rodri just seems to be one of those blokes who doesn't need a rest.
Yeah.
So Rodri, Gundogan, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Mahrez, Foden, thanks for coming. It's got to be Walker. And like to be fair to Walker, like, he got a bit of good press, didn't he, after the first leg? But like a couple of months ago when Cancelo was doing his great stuff from right back and then going up into midfield and beyond, it was like people didn't want to see Kyle Walker ever again. It was like, just stick with this. Guardiola brought him back in, mainly around the Everton game, wasn't it, in the league, when he brought Walker and Laporte back in. And fair play to Walker. Like, he's just, I can't think of them playing PSG without Walker.
Yeah,
in the second leg of a Champions League semi-final. You can't say fairer than that. And then it'll be Stones and Diaz, most likely. And then, yeah, it comes down to the left-back, and I think it'll probably be Zinchenko. So
yeah,
maybe a predictable 11.
The thing is...
Well, in fact, should we talk about that? Like,
well, I was gonna kind of tap into this. Maybe we've just had the same thought at the same time, because what I was interested in is almost that element of how you look at Guardiola's eliminations from the Champions League, and there's always been something. There's always been something. And this year, it's almost like he's just gone, this is my strongest 11 for this game. We'll play how we play. That's it. Let's do it. Let's not care about what they're going to do. We'll have a little bit of cover. We'll adapt slightly because we know what Neymar and Mbappe can do. But Manchester City are going to impose themselves on this game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the Guardiola equivalent of the Mike Bassett, we're going to play 4-4 fucking 2.
Like, yeah.
We're going to play our way. We're not going to adapt to this or that or the other. And yeah, he talked about it a couple of times in his press conference before the game. And we've seen that over the two Dortmund games and the PSG game now. It's like, okay, well, this is what we can do. And also, I think the second half performance probably showed City that as well. They were like, okay, we do need to give due respect to Mbappe and Neymar and Di Maria and like a lot of other stuff. But they probably thought, okay, well, they need to respect us as well. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the situation they're at now. And look, maybe if they get to the final, Guardiola will do something mad and he'll be back to the overthinking things. But it seems to be the case that he knows what's working and he's sticking with it.
Yeah. The other kind of interesting aspects for this second leg, Sam, is I feel like we know going into it that PSG have to score twice. And that is, I guess, that could be the little bit of the dynamic that affects how Guardiola sets up. Because if he's never been in this position really, other than this season, where he's been in control of these knockout ties at the midway point, other than that Monaco game. And that Monaco game was, I mean, the first leg was so mad that, you know, you kind of rule it out on that instance.
Yeah.
So, like, it's almost as if he has to fight himself. Do you know what I mean? He's got to go into this because he knows that the sensible thing to do is not give anything stupid away, because you're winning 2-1, you've got your two away goals. Don't give them a chance to score any of their goals, because if PSG score early, that's the moment where you start to... where the butterflies start to arrive in the tummy sort of thing. So don't give them any opportunity. Keep them at arm's length. But the way City play and the way that they play best is to not do that. It's to not set up to do that. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I mean, how they've set up all season, and especially in these games, is keep it tight. You know, play with the ball, keep the ball, but yeah, don't open up those spaces. Stay close together. Don't rush your passes. Get everyone in the right position. And look, that will create chances as well, but they're not going to push. They're not going to play like risky passes to make that happen. They'll keep it tight and keep it closed. And to be fair, I do think it's kind of one hand washes the other in that sense. And that's the beauty of the approach this season. And that's the difference. Not scored as many goals as you might expect in the Premier League, not just because they haven't got a clinical striker and not just because the first few games of the season let the side down a bit, but because Guardiola's, like, as a fact, is happier to keep the games tight if they need to be. Or, you know, he's more comfortable with the games being tight and he's more confident with it. So I think that's the way City can go into it. And I don't think it requires any kind of change of mentality or setup. Because look, for a start, you mentioned the Monaco game, but Guardiola sent them into it saying, well, look, we play the same way. We got on the attack.
And they just didn't do it.
They weren't really used to that, didn't really do it, and it didn't really go well. But it will be, well, we'll approach this game the same way we approached the first, the same way we approached Dortmund, the same way we approached every game, basically. Apart from, you know, like Palace and Leeds and Chelsea, because it was a different lineup, really. But, I mean, broadly, it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a different shape, of course, to those games I just mentioned. But it's the same thing. So, no, I don't think there's any real dilemma there. But the only thing you mentioned about it being them needing two goals is, and this is the apologies for the second leg vibes, but when he was talking after the first game about how the players were maybe a bit nervous because, you know, because PSG had scored 3 goals at Bayern and 4 goals at Barca, I was like, oh God, they're good away from home. Like, they're really good away from home. And that'll be a bit of a worry. But at the same time, City won't really approach the home game any differently to they approach the away game, I'm sure of it. And it's not like there's any fans there to kind of, like, spur them on and say, come on, lads. Like, City can play the game at their own pace anyway. So I'm sure they'll be hoping that there's no real difference, home versus away. Because obviously, if there was, then it would suggest that PSG would carry more of a threat. So City just needs to carry on and do what they do.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever see it. Gaz, our mate on Twitter, often says about when it comes to City and set pieces, and especially corners, because we all say City can't take corners, and then they always get it. They always try and whip it into the near post, and it gets nodded away quite easily. But I think PSG proved his point that if you get it over the head of that first man with a bit of whip, it is dangerous as hell. And that's what we're. Genuinely, I never thought I'd be coming out of that first leg going, well, PSG are going to offer the biggest threat from set pieces that I've seen at the Etihad for a long time.
Yeah, and that was part of my kind of first half analysis, just in the sense that in terms of the tactical setup, it wasn't great. But it wasn't like they kept getting rinsed on the counter-attack or conceded a load of chances. It was just a set of pieces. But then obviously, as far as 180 minutes of football goes, if you concede three or four set of pieces, then you're going to be in trouble. So yeah, that's obviously something that City will kind of have to look out for. But I think there's probably the element of you can prepare for these things and you can be told that, about these things and you can work on stopping them. But until it actually happens to you, you probably don't have quite the same intensity with it. Maybe I'm doing them a disservice, but the fact that that's happened, the fact that he ran off Gundogan and he wasn't able to block him enough, Gundogan will, for the second leg, be thinking, well, I can't let that happen again. So there might be an element of, okay, well, it's really happened. We need to be on our toes. I'm sure they'll work on it an awful lot. Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know how much time they'll actually have, but they'll certainly be showing the videos.
The cutest thing about that goal, though, was the block on Diaz, because Diaz would have made the header to clear it had he been able to get there. And like it goes completely under the radar that actually you just can't get there because there is a great blocking run from, I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the PSG attackers, just made sure that Diaz would not get to that ball once the run off Gundogan had happened.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of stuff, like, don't let it happen again kind of thing, or watch out for this. So yeah, so it's going to be a threat, but also you might think City, this is kind of the positive spin on losing 2-1 away from home. It's like the positive spin is they know what to look out for now.
Yeah. You mentioned the Aguero thing, Sam. Let's pivot over to Aguero, because obviously the like you said, the Q&A was filled with suggestions that he could play a role against PSG. I think both me and you would be utterly astounded if it was from the start.
Coming off the bench, maybe. Yeah.
But that goal, I mean, the goal of the week, that was a proper next goal, wasn't it? You actually said to me next when it went in.
Yeah. I would like to think that people who follow me on Twitter, even though I wasn't tweeting this weekend, would know that that's why I would have tweeted had I been around. I know it's like a really easy conclusion to draw, but it's the kind of goal that other City players don't really score. I know Mahrez and Foden are capable of scoring from outside the box, and we keep talking about Foden's capacity to do amazing things. De Bruyne in previous seasons, not so much this season, but it's just that, like the commentators were saying afterwards, you know, it wasn't even a half chance kind of thing. It's not a shot that others would have taken on, and it's a bit of a reminder of what they'll be missing with Aguero, but it's also a bit of a reminder of what they need from other people, because games like that, like it's fine to deserve your goals and have loads of XG and go, okay, we worked really hard for this and that and the other and we created all this, but like how many times do we talk about Dortmund over the two legs? Oh, if Haaland scores out of nothing, that can be the difference in these games.
Yeah,
and it still might be the difference on Tuesday night. So more goals like that required, and it's just good for Aguero basically, because look, without that, it'd have had three goals this season, two of them penalties, two of them in the Champions League group stage. It's no way to go out. And look, the other 9 years are going to mean that it's not a tarnish on his legacy at all. But it's nice that when you look through the season, there's a good goal there, and there's a meaningful goal there. It's not, as I wrote this in the article, it's not the QPR goal. It's not the goal at Burnley 2 years ago where it really, really, really meant something, because the games just aren't that tense. But it was, look, if United Liverpool play on Monday and they win the title then it'll be that Aguero goal takes on more significance. And it's just nice for fans and for him to actually have something to, you know, when the season is looked back on, however it's looked back on in the weird circumstances, he will be there doing something recognisably Aguero-like.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna kind of dive into the hypothetical again now, Sam, because let's say, for argument's sake, that he doesn't get on the pitch against PSG because it's a comfortable game, City win, and they get their way through to the final with no major drama in that second leg, and then Aguero plays pretty much every Premier League game till the end of the season, and maybe he scores in all but one of them, or maybe he scores in them all. I don't know. And he looks like he's starting to get a little bit more fitness back. The Champions League final comes along, and obviously, again, like with the PSG game, maybe he's not in the starting lineup, but he comes off the bench and plays a little bit of a part. Is that a sign that that City may well come back and say, well, maybe another year is a possibility, or is it better for him to leave in that instance, having proved that he can still do it this season over the knee injury?
I think probably a lot of it depends on how far they've got down the line. of buying another number nine. Because, like, it would be important context if they go, you know what, we're not going to pay what they want for Haaland, we're not going to pay what they want for Kane. This guy is doing better than we thought. Let's keep him around. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. But in this hypothetical situation, I don't know. I do feel like this is just me, and this is because I'm reacting to the situation and the reality. So I'm trying to talk about hypothetical, but I'm actually thinking about the reality. And the reality is he is going. The reality is they have decided that he's not quite up to it anymore, whether that's partly because they know they can get a replacement in, or partly because he really, really isn't up to it anymore. And look, I know there's been comments over the last 24 hours, wow, fitness is there and that kind of thing. But it's like, as much as it was a really good goal, like, it doesn't yet change anything. So yeah, if we get to the end of the season and he has scored a load more, then it's a conversation to be had. But
is there a situation?
The time is moving on, so let's move on. But obviously, that's not really my call to make because I'm not a fan. But
yeah, but is there a situation where City do change the mind, or is that it? Is it done and dusted and over?
Well, I don't know. I mean, nobody's suggested that. And like I said, I think I've said before, there's people very close to him who know what they're doing by passing this message on to media, pointing out that it was purely Guardiola's decision and they're really pissed off and this, that and the other. And obviously the club are saying privately, you know, it was a club decision and we think it's the right time, etc. So it would be interesting. And like this, it's the weird dynamic with Guardiola and Aguero again, because obviously if you listen to Guardiola yesterday, you'd think there's no way he wants this guy to go, like how he was talking. So, I mean, if you're going by all the public stuff, then you'd think, it's not too late, is it? Like, I've had a flashback to David Brent when he's saying, like, don't make me redundant. And they're like, the wheels are in motion or whatever. But, like, the wheels don't have to be in motion, surely. Like, I'm sure they could. But, yeah, it depends on how much it's related to other number nines. And, look, he might just not be that fit. But, you know, he can score a goal against Palace, fine. But, you know, people are like, oh, we can still be backup next season. It's like, on this evidence, not really. Because you can't be a backup if you're not available. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's not how backups work. I guess we'll have to see. I'm not going to rule it out 100%, but it seems unlikely. It seems like it's been made now.
Would he sign a contract if it was offered, though? Because that's a different side of this, isn't it? Like, obviously,
well, he wanted to stay, I think so.
But I mean, having been told no, there's no contract.
Yeah,
offering,
unless he thinks bollocks to you, I'm going to go. But which I guess is possible. And you know, he might. You know, the way that things change, and you know, he's had an offer from Barca or whatever, and he might be thinking, you know, he might be looking forward to going to Barca for argument's sake. And he's thinking, well, I would have stayed at City if you'd offered 2 months ago, but, you know, now I've, you know, wheels are in motion, actually, that I'm going to buy this house next to Messi. I'm going to move into Suarez's old place or whatever, and I'm looking forward to it. So there's possibly that element to it as well. But, like, if City did say, actually, we do want you to stay, this is the money you'd earn, it's the same as before or whatever, and he's like, yeah, yeah, okay, I can see that. Then, yeah, hypothetically, it's all right. But I don't know. I certainly wouldn't want to be getting anyone's hopes up about it, because I do think that's pretty unlikely.
Yeah. I did see a funny tweet, though, this weekend of a West Ham fan had photoshopped Aguero into a West Ham kit. And the quote on it was, is anybody saying no? And the reply to it was, Aguero, mate. Sorry about that.
Yeah, of course. Like, it's very, yeah. Yeah. Very strange, very strange.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Obviously, just before we move on from PSG and Aguero, Sam, like we say, probably he's probably not going to be involved in the game. like in terms of City and the Champions League and their progress in the Champions League now, one of the things that, I mean, even if City don't get through this tie and something mad happens in the second leg and, you know, the bounce of the ball doesn't happen for them and it goes in and that's it, it's game over, whatever. It feels like it's been a different Champions League campaign for City this season. It feels like a much more mature campaign, if that's the right word.
Yeah, so I mean, if we are going to go down this kind of grim prospect of PSG going through, obviously, like, there'd be a big kickoff, obviously. There'd be a big sense of, how have you let that go? Like, let's not kid ourselves. The reaction would be brutal. But going into next season, it wouldn't be the same as this, because this year was, you're not going to do another Lyon, are you? You're not going to let it happen again. And obviously, Dortmund were kind of prime candidates for that, weren't they? You know, not a top tier team, but good enough on the break and could do damage. And there was always the worries about that and that, oh, maybe City are going to have a stinker or whatever. But I do think that even if, you know, the worst were to happen on Tuesday night, next season it would be like, yeah, more mature. And they go, okay, well, they may have messed up against PSG in the second leg, but they did brilliantly to get there. They did look much more sure of themselves. And rather than, I think next season, again, if this were to happen in this kind of worst case scenario, but they'd be thinking, okay, well, semi-finals again then, or final next year then, rather than, are you going to mess up with the quarterfinals? Guardiola's got this to prove himself. You know, the players, this, that, and the other. City have never done this. Is it ever going to happen? They've got over that hurdle. And I think even the performance against PSG in the first leg, yeah, there's a maturity there where I think the mentality going into it next season would be fine, semi-final again, final again then. Yeah, which definitely wouldn't have happened. And that, I think that does mean there has been a kind of a shift, really, in City's Champions League evolution as they've gone on. And also, like as we were saying, you know, Guardiola, I think he said before the game, he's learned from his mistakes. I think he was probably referring to some of the tinkering, maybe. Maybe he's buying into the overthinking theory. I might be wrong on that. But the way he's picking these consistent lineups and the way he's playing this sort of game, which seems to be working, is you wouldn't have those doubts of, is he going to do something mad if they play a Lyon again? You know, yeah, I think things next season, whatever happens on Tuesday night, whatever happens in Istanbul or wherever the final's played, things are different for City in the Champions League now.
And it's weird because I look at it and kind of I take a more of a I hate using this word around City, but it's the right word for it. So prepare for it, everyone. But it's I take a more holistic view of of how City's progress in the Champions League has gone. Because if you look at the Guardiola sample size, which is obviously the last, well, including this season, is five seasons, isn't it? It looks very, very stagnant and very flat. But if you look at it from City's arrival in the Champions League and you pull out to the kind of the 10 years or so it's been there, there's notable steps and the trend is always upwards, and that's kind of how I'm feeling a lot more positive about the performances in the competition this season. The first couple of years they were in the groups, they got tough groups, they got knocked out, fine, it happens. They got through to the knockout stages and they got taught a lesson by Barcelona. Okay, there we go. It's the sort of thing that happens. They then, you know, got a couple of nice draws in the knockout phase, got through to the semi-final, and let's be honest, that route to that semi-final under Pellegrini, it was a really nice route for him to get there. And as soon as they came up against anybody of any decent kind of nous and knowledge in the Champions League, they didn't even score a goal in that semi-final. So okay, yeah. That's, you know, it's nice progress, but you can't look at that to build on for next season, especially with a change in manager, especially with the change that City were going to go through at that point. And especially with the performance in the Premier League that year was pretty bad as well. Then Guardiola comes in, changes the style of play. They get out the groups each year, it's fine, but the Monaco game happens and we all go, oh, it's regression. They keep having this quarterfinal hurdle. But then this season, you look at, like you said there, about him having learned from his mistakes. And soon now, you look at how they've dealt with this semi-final compared to the last time they dealt with that semi-final. They feel a lot more grown up and a lot more aware of what they need to do in this competition. And just like we say, if worst case scenario comes along and they don't win the Champions League, well, they don't even get to the Champions League final this season, you feel like whoever they come up against, they are fully prepared for what they're going to face in this instance. And you have to have the look. And I've always said in previous years, City haven't been knocked out by the bad luck that they've had, by the poor refereeing decisions. They've been knocked out by their inability to bounce back from it. And what I mean by that is, yeah, Mo Salah should have been flagged offside for that first goal at Anfield, but he wasn't, and then you suddenly 3-0 down 10 minutes later. That can't happen. This year, they have had the bounce of the ball. That Jude Bellingham goal should have stood, for instance. Like the those little things, they have gone in City's favour, and they've taken advantage of it. And that is what is filling me with so much more confidence at the moment. And to the point where now I'm looking at this second leg with PSG and thinking, I don't see any real reason why City can't go out there and just control this game, get themselves through to the final with no major dramas. And this is something that I would never have dreamed of saying even like 6-8 months ago.
Yeah, I think basically the easiest way for me to put it across is he's taken that form from the league into the Champions League, that consistency. And there was always a difference. I mean, there always has been a difference. You know, it's always a cup competition. Anything can happen. But Guardiola's whole management is about dominating those tiny variables and the things he can't control. He works so hard to control them. And that's why the league campaigns, you know, the team score so many goals, they get so many points, so many wins. And we've seen that in the Premier League, but he's never managed to replicate that in the Champions League. But look, there's no difference now between the league performances and the Champions League performances. They play the same, more or less, it's the same way. They're controlling the games now much better in Europe. And yeah, it took 5 seasons for Guardiola to get there, but that's what they're doing. They're controlling those games, and it's just like the league form. And like you said, you look at it and it maybe doesn't jump out against like previous seasons or whatever, but I think that's the point. Like, it's just so steady and so consistent now. And Gladbach over 2 legs, like a non-event from a football, you know, the fans of other clubs won't have been looking at that tie with any interest.
Yeah.
Because City just went, right,
absolutely no drama in it. Yeah.
And we're going to do it. And even they managed the 2 legs over Dortmund, like, brilliantly well. Like I said, there was a bit of luck with the Bellingham goal, and they weren't entirely convincing in that first leg against Dortmund. But then the second leg, going behind, just completely went right, okay. And it came from behind to win a game, which famously they're not great at doing. And that's now been a thing. They've done that 3 times in 2 weeks, twice in the Champions League. And yeah, now the same with PSG. So you've got the tactics coming together in the sense of how they use the ball and how they play and the control that gives them, but also the mentality, which is a new thing. Because we knew they could play football. They've been playing fantastic football for years, and it's been enough to win the Premier League, but it's not been enough to win in the Champions League. But that mentality side of it, even after they recovered the football after last season, you know, not being great, and this season, start of it being arguably worse than last season, recovered that fine. But the mentality side of it is new, and that's something that we probably wouldn't have even known 2 or 3 weeks ago until they started going a goal down and coming back and winning in big games that really mattered, and they've done it 3 times in 2 weeks. So yeah, it's all together.
Listen, they might go out against PSG. They might go out in the final, or they might get to the final and lose it. But it does feel different, and that's ultimately what I'm happy with in terms of progress this season.
But I mean, look, like we've talked about this, that, and the other. But if they do get through on Tuesday night, I mean, I'm sure we'll be able to scramble to do a podcast on Wednesday morning, maybe Tuesday night, and then we can talk about all the other brilliant things and speculate who's going to be in the final, I guess. I kind of think, just as a very quick aside, I kind of think everyone's talking about Chelsea. And I saw somebody in the comments, maybe he was just a bit of a fan of another team, because it did kind of come across as in a bit of sense. But they're like, oh, Chelsea will beat this in the final. I was like, what are you on about? Like, Chelsea were good for 30 minutes against Real Madrid. Then Madrid scored from a corner. They had one counter-attack and they reshuffled at half-time and didn't have anything. I kind of feel like, although Chelsea are in the driver's seat, I kind of feel like they blew a chance. And I wouldn't be... I'd prefer City to play Real Madrid. Maybe just because it's you don't want to play another English team, especially if they were to, like, for argument's sake, if they were to move the final to Wembley and they played Chelsea, that would just be crap. It wouldn't feel like a Champions League final. Like, so I would like them to play Real Madrid, and I think there's a decent chance of that happening. I feel like Chelsea were very good, but they just lacked a bit of nous in the end. And if Madrid turn up or are clinical, then it'll be much harder for them, even though it's at the Stamford Bridge. But I mean, look, we'll see. And hopefully we'll be talking about that Wednesday morning.
I was going to say, let's not get ahead of ourselves here, because there is still a PSG tie to be won. The interesting thing as well is that one way or another on Tuesday night, history will be made. Either City will make their first Champions League final, or they will be the first English side to take an away lead from the first leg of a knockout game in the Champions League and get knocked out. 47 times English teams have taken a lead from the away leg, and 47 times they've gone through. So there is history to be made either way. So
Let's go for the good kind.
It's a very City way to think about it. Final word. I know we did the leaked home kit on last week's show, Sam. Final word on this week's show is going to that leaked third kit, because, like since that week's, I mean, holy hell, my expectations were low. But goodness grief, what? Like, it's like literally that third kit. The fact that it says Man City across the front of it, it's almost like, you know those times where you hear of situations where like creative people have gone to the board members with a pitch and they've just got placeholder text in and they've gone, oh yeah, no, that looks great, keep it. And you're like, well, no, it's just placeholder text. It's just, honestly, we'll put something in there when keep it, I like that. It feels like that's happened.
Yeah, I know people don't even like the very fact that it says Man City rather than Manchester City. Well, obviously that's the official website, so that's the way it's going. But yeah, it's the two words that keep coming back to me is from Kieran on Twitter. Just, he keeps replying to that, well, quote tweeting anything with the new City kits. He just says vile garment, and like it just I do have to agree, to be fair. And like lads, I know people are resistant to change, and I know when Apple change all their connections and make people spend more money on connections, it's like, okay, at least there's something, you know, that is going to be the future. But like, you need to have a badge on a football shirt, lads. Like, you need a badge on it. And I know they've embedded it, haven't they? They've embroidered it into the fabric, and they've probably got 1,894 City badges on it or something, like some kind of special meaning. But the worst thing for me is, because I talked last week about how, you know, a lot of thought goes into these kits and a lot of research and stuff, and they do appeal to different markets and things. But that was made clear to me when I spoke to people from City and people from Puma last summer, and they explained the kits this year. And I said that, you know, the second or third kits this year, I actually quite like them. But they said, look, we're not going to name names, but other brands, they just do template kits. They're the same for all the clubs, and the fans don't feel that special. And you know, we're at City, and people might not like the kits, but we're doing something that's specific to City. But this third kit that says Man City, it's the same template as like Marseille and AC Milan and loads of other Puma shirts.
Italy have got that in the Euros as well.
Yeah, but there's genuinely like four or five mock-ups of those kits for four or five different clubs, yeah. And it's like, well, like, you can't even sell it on, oh, we're trying something new and special. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big miss from me. I don't like it at all.
The thing is, I mean, between now and next week, God only knows what could happen with this leak, if there's a leak of the away kit. But like, if anybody from Puma or from City is listening to this, please just give us red and black stripes. Please, I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Just red and black stripes.
Yeah, somebody said on the Q&A, they said it's close to being a community shield against a team that wears blue. So hopefully Puma make a red and black stripe kind of, you know, one-off kit like they did with the classic blue one from a couple of years ago. And I mean, yeah, that would be great, and you wouldn't put it past them to do it. But the third kit, I mean, between the first one, which isn't great, and the third one, which is awful, to be fair, I can't think of what the second one's going to be. Although actually I saw a concept earlier, but it was, you know, normally concept kits are, this is what a designer has made and don't they look great, but the one I saw seemed to be this is a concept kit based on leaks, and it didn't look too bad. It was white and it had kind of, okay, this is going to sound awful, but it does look right, kind of pink and purpley kind of trim and patterns around the sleeves and stuff. So that would be the best of the three, really.
I'm open to it, but
imagine winning the Champions League final in. Imagine winning the Champions League back-to-back next year in that third kit.
No, just eliminate yourselves, lads. Don't lift the trophy in that kit.
You're the fan, and you said it. So.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll find out if City are in the Champions League final on Tuesday. Like Sam says, if they make it there, we may scramble together something for you. So join us again next time for another White or Whistles. I'm David Mooney. Thanks as ever to Sam Lee.
Yeah, thanks very much. And enjoy on Tuesday night, which will be very difficult to do.
Never going to happen. I know I said that last time. Yeah. Never going to happen. You can sign up to The Athletic right now for £3.99 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.